Praise God. Love you, baby. Amen. How many know that he who has found a good wife has found a good thing? Praise God. I found the good thing. Sort of like Coca-Cola. It was the real thing. Amen. Praise God. I just wait a minute. Just look to your neighbor and say, it's really good to see you today. I'm glad you could make it. God's going to see you through to the end. Amen. Praise God. You know, when I was spending some time with the Lord this week, and you know, when you're going through the different storms and the different trials of life, and you know, life's made up of mountaintops and valleys, you know. Jesus said, in this world, we're going to go through some tribulation, but we're to be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. So no matter what it seems like or no matter what it looks like, God always has a plan and always is going to be glorified in every situation if we look to him and see what he wants to reveal and what he wants to show us through the experiences of life that we've been through. You know, I think that in ministry, you know, as a pastor, you get gray hair because you go through a lot of different things. And I think probably I'm trying to defend my age. I'm really young. I'm real young. Amen. I'm just 16. Hallelujah. He said, I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. I got a new beginning. I'm only 16 years old. No, but when I was looking at that, you know, the Lord was took me to the book of Malachi. So go to Malachi chapter 3 a moment. Now, Malachi, in Malachi 3, it doesn't have anything to do with the message today yet. I'm just getting the foundation and trying to open up the eyes and the ears of our understanding so that when we step into the Word that we're all going in it together. And in Malachi, the prophet Malachi, it was teaching about the ordinances of the body of Christ or the church. He's talking about tithes and offerings. And after he's finished teaching on tithes and offerings and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you know, there's a question that's asked, and a lot of us may ask the same question. Why do evil people prosper? Why do the unrighteous prosper? Why does it look like the people in the world are always prospering and we're not prospering? And so that question was arise, and then a question was arise in Malachi in chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, you have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels or my precious things, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. You know, all the way through the Word of God and from every Old Testament and New Testament patriarch or man or woman of faith, God has showed patterns through his word. We can always look to the word of God and we can find patterns that there's been patterns set, and we can learn from patterns that have been set before us. You know, God wants us to learn through the experiences of others so that we don't have to go through it ourselves. And you know, and you say, well, why am I going through this? Sometimes we go through things because we didn't learn from the experience of someone else. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it that way. I've got my own, I'm my own person. I can do whatever I want, and God's going to be with me. Amen? And I want you to understand something with me today, that God sets standards in His Word, and He does not go outside of His Word.
That's right.
I want you to understand something with me this morning. The law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. It was fulfilled. There's a right and there's a wrong. There's good, there's bad. There's righteous, there's unrighteous. There's heaven, there's hell. You know, there's a dividing line, and God wants us to get understanding. And when I was looking at that, I'm going to speak today out of Isaiah chapter 50. So if you go to Isaiah chapter 50 with me, and we're going to speak on a subject. You know what the Lord says? Why does bad things happen to good people? Hello? Why does bad things happen to good people? And we're going to pray that the Holy Spirit just shows us some things today. Amen? He's going to show each and every one of us something if we're open and receptive to what He has to say. But in Malachi chapter 50, verse number 1 through 3, Isaiah 50, verses 1 through 3, the prophet Isaiah is hearing from the Lord. The children of Israel had been in the captivity, and he is showing them that they were in captivity by their own doing. God rejected them because he rejected them, him. In other words, he didn't sell them into captivity. They sold themselves into captivity. God didn't do it. God didn't give them a letter of divorcement because his desire is for them to be reconciled, for them to be restored, for them to be brought together with him again. So he isn't divorcing them. They're just in a time of separation. And sometimes in the natural, in marriages and in marital relationships, sometimes you might find yourselves in a place of separation. Sometimes in that time of separation will be for reconciliation, restoration, to heal the marriage. And God, the Word of God says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, like some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to all of us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But then the prophet Isaiah goes into a soliloquy. A soliloquy is he begins to talk to himself. Have you ever talked to yourself before? Man, sometimes when I've talked to myself, I've said some real profound things to myself. Sometimes when I was talking to myself, I said, man, I wish somebody could have heard that. That was pretty good, you know. And all of a sudden, the prophet Isaiah, he's in this place, and he's speaking to himself. But in the midst of this time when he's talking to himself, the prophetic word speaks forward of Christ Jesus. It was just amazing what God does. And God, sometimes when we just look at ourselves and start talking to ourselves, He will show us something profound and something so deep that it reaches to our very heart and our very soul. So let's read Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4. He says, the Lord God have given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh me morning by morning. He waketh my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God have opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. And what he is talking about is they're walking in their own light. Jesus is the light of the world. We are just candlesticks. We are just bearer of the light. I'm not the light. He is the light. In other words, as we are vessels, we're walking in the light of the Lord. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. But today I want to speak to you out of verse number 5 because I believe that the Lord wants to speak to us in this area today. He said, "The Lord have opened my ear to hear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." The title of this morning's message with the help of the Lord is To Learn to Discern. And just like if you were to take a flight from Dulles Airport to Dallas, Texas, for example, when you get in the air, there is a flight pattern. There's a flight pattern that's been established. And God, through His Word, has established a pattern for you and I. And today I want to speak to you on 3 points. The points is to receive, to rebel, and to revert. Now, I just have them for simple things to you to remember to follow through with the message today. And the thought is, if you receive the word, it will help keep you from rebelling and reverting back to the old nature. He's opened my ear to hear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Can we ask God's blessing to the preaching and teaching of the word? Y'all ready for it? It's coming. It's coming, whether you're ready or not. He says, ready or not, here I come. Come on. Come on, lift the word together. Let's make a declaration in the house today. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Excuse me, never be the same. Lord, speak to me, for I'm listening. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Father, we're so grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it here to do, Father God. And Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you speak through this vessel, Lord Jesus. Lord, I need a little more clarity, the understanding, Father God. I pray, Father God, that the words that proceeded out of this mouth come from you and not from me. Father God, I pray, Father God, that you just touch these lips, these unclean lips, and purify them with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, when all is said and done, you'll receive all glory and all honor and all praise. If there's anyone here today that does not know you to be their Lord and Savior, may this be the day of their salvation. If there are those here today that have drifted away from you, may this be the day of the return. And for the entire body of believers that is gathered here today, may each and every one be edified. May they be exhorted and comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And we thank you and give you praise for this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. You know, when I was looking at this and the prophet Isaiah, as he's talking to himself, he's reminding himself that he's learned, he's been discipled, he's grown, and he says, the Lord God have opened my ear. Amen. And that's so important to not only open your ear to hear, but today God's word needs to go from your ear to your brain to your heart. It's got to take that 18-inch journey. Because if it doesn't take that 18-inch journey to your heart, it just becomes head knowledge and not heart knowledge. Out of the abundance of my heart is where I'm going to speak, and that's what's going to come forth. And my wife corrected me, spoke to me the other day. I said something that I was out of order. And I did something that, I said something I shouldn't have said to her. She said, no way did she deserve it. And I asked her, forgive her. Forgive me. I said, it was head. She says, no, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so we got to be careful what proceeds out of our mouth. But what I want to talk to you today about is what we do with what we hear. We've got to let it get past our ear to our brain and let it penetrate our hearts. Because if it never penetrates our hearts, it never becomes fruit in our life. It never accomplishes what God sent it to do. He says his word will never return unto him void, but it's important for us to understand that word has to penetrate. That word that has to be engrafted in you. It's implanted inside of you and I. And when I was looking at this, the Lord was showing me something in patterns. He's opened my ear to hear. And he wants you to know that, hey, in this world, there's either right or wrong. It's either doing right or doing what's wrong. It's either being righteous or being unrighteous. It's either being a sinner or being a saint. You know, and what are you saying? God wants you to understand something today. He wants you and I to understand that there's a narrow road that leads to heaven. And there's a wide road that leads to destruction. You know, the Paul in Romans chapter 10, he gives us the Romans road to salvation. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But just as there's a road that leads to salvation and eternal life, there's a road that leads to eternal damnation. And Jesus speaks clearly about this. So he's opening up some ears to hear. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse number 12. Jesus says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even to them. For this is the law of the prophets. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Then he says, enter ye in the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. In other words, there's only one gate. There's the strait gate is Jesus Christ. He is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. But after we come through the gate, there's a narrow path that leads to the kingdom. And on each side of the narrow path, there's wide roads of destruction. You know, and what God is saying to you and I, he said in there, in verse number 13, and verse 14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leaveth the life, and there few there be that find it. But he says, broad and wide is the way to destruction. There's a broad avenue to destruction. You know, in other words, I've heard people say to me, I've heard people say, well, Pastor, I tried the God thing. Did you? Did you really? Did you really try the God thing? Did you really die of self? Did you really become a new creation in Christ Jesus? Did you really put away the old man? Did you really put on the new man? Did you really trust him at his word? Did you really do the things that he asked you to do in his word? You know, I remember people, I tried that before. Let me say something to you. If you put God first and seek ye first the kingdom of God, you'll never turn around and look back. You'll never look in another direction. Once you've had an encounter with the living God, you're not looking for anything else. You found everything your heart and life was desiring. Everything you were looking for was found in the name of Jesus. I found love in the name of Jesus. I found peace in the name of Jesus. I found joy in the name of Jesus. I found everything my heart desired in the name of Jesus. Does that mean I don't go through things? Yeah, I'm going to go through some things, but I'm not going through them alone. Amen. I know that there's a wide road that's leading to destruction, and there's a narrow path that's leading to heaven. And there's so many false teachers, and there's so many false prophets that are out there saying, well, you've said this, now go do what you want. That's a lie. Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God's word said, God forbid. I'm not that man anymore. I put away that old man. I put away his foolish things. I put away the old deeds. And you and I are new men and women in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, he is telling you and I. He says in Matthew 7, he said, not everyone that saith me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is God's will? Listen to me. The law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. It was fulfilled. You know what was changed? We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore because there was a perfect sacrifice that was made for you and me. Amen. Amen. You know, when I was, and I look at this and I'm thinking and I'm saying, Lord, there's a wide road. Stink bug. That leads to destruction. Amen. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Verse number 12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and a shame unto him. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. You know, when I was looking at that, in Matthew chapter 13, when Jesus is talking about the word in different soils that the word falls on, he's talking also about different receptors, different hearers. In other words, when the word of God comes to you, do you just let it come into your ear? That's wayside hearing. Do you let it come into your mind? And that's stony ground. When you allow it to come to your heart and then you allow cares and riches of this world to choke it, that's the hearing that's thorny. But when you let it be implanted in your heart, when you let it take root in your heart, it becomes a good seed and it becomes fruitful. You know, the hub is hearing, understanding, and bearing. It's just like in a hub of a wheel, the core of the wheel. Jesus is saying that's the hub of all life, to hear, to understand, and to bear. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He said before in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. But you have the Spirit of God. Amen. So you can discern what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, what's righteous, what's unrighteous. God already, you can't say you didn't know, because if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, he convicts you. Immediately, I was riding with my brother Ron. We went over to the UVA. On the way back, I was talking about trying to get in touch with an attorney because an attorney had served me a subpoena to be a character witness for someone, and I'm scheduled to be out of the and Tulsa that week. And I've been calling the attorney several times, and I exaggerated. I said, I know, I'll call him 10 times. And the Holy Spirit corrected me and said 3. It wasn't 10. 10 sounded okay, but it wasn't truth. It was exaggerated. Hello? And in other words, when we do wrong, and we know it's wrong, so many times we try to justify what we do. We try to blame it on someone. You know who's to blame? The adversary. But I don't have to let him have. I don't need to let him win the battle. Amen. You know, every time that he does that, man, I've got to react. When the Holy Spirit says react, react. You know, and what I'm speaking about today is I'm not going to stay on this too much, but if we don't get to receive the word, this is the life. Amen. This is the life. You want God to talk to you? Open the book. He talks to me. He walks with me and he talks with me. I like that. Walk through the garden.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. Praise God. You know, he walks with us, he talks with us. In James chapter 1, verse 21, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity or superabundance of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. In other words, the engrafted word is the implanted word. In other words, when the word comes in, it can't just go to my mind. It becomes head knowledge. It has to take that journey to my heart. Then it's implanted. Once it gets into my heart, no one can steal it. No one can take it because it's got root in the inner core being. Now when it's head knowledge, I can be confused. When it's just head knowledge, the adversary will confuse it and he'll mess with it. But when it becomes heart knowledge and it becomes implanted and grafted in my heart, it starts to bear fruit.
That's right.
And all of a sudden I become fruity. I'm not a fruitcake. I'm a spiritual fruitcake. You're a spiritual fruitcake. You're walking in love, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, joy. You have that faith to believe God at what he said he would do. Faith is the faith in the substance of things that's being hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And all of a sudden, now because I have the engrafted word, if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the word of God is in my heart, not just in my mind. If it's in my heart, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak. And when I come to a situation or a circumstance, what's going to come out is his word. Because that's where the fruit comes from. Amen. That's where the fruit blossoms from. It blossoms from the word of God. I could tell you 10,000 stories, but it's the word that's going to transform your life. It's the word of God that's going to change our lives. If we're not going to be conformed to this world, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we got to allow this word to enter these portals. Our eyes, our ears, and what we speak. Jesus, God's word in Revelation says, blessed is he that reads, hears, and keeps. You know, in other words, man, we're going to read, we're going to listen to it, and we're going to keep it. Because it becomes seed in our heart. And all of a sudden, when that word takes root, and the grafted word takes root in our heart, in our core, in our being of our life, all of a sudden we start bearing fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Amen. All of a sudden, the blessings of God starts flowing. So the prophet Isaiah, he's talking to himself. He's doing this soliloquy. He's speaking to himself, and he's talking to himself. He says, my Lord God, I've opened my ear. And then he says, and I was not rebellious. I was not rebellious. Any rebels in the house? Oh, man, look at all the liars. Any rebels in the house? Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, here's what happens. 6 days in the week, many of us are so wild oats. And we'll come in on Sunday morning and pray for a crop failure. Right? Come on. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, remember God just shows us things through experience of men. We have the account of King Saul. God had given King Saul instructions to destroy Amalek and destroy everything and take nothing. God told him just to annihilate him. You have to understand, Amalek is a mix between the falling angels. That was a tribe that was evil, and God was removing. That had to be destroyed. And Saul decided that he went in and destroyed all of the junk and kept all the good stuff. And brought the king, Agag, with them also. And to justify himself, which many times when we're in rebellion, we do. To justify himself, he said, well, I'm going to sacrifice all these choice sheep to the Lord. Now, I can see God looking at this sacrifice. You're going to bring me an offering of something I told you not to spare, and you're going to present it to me. And so the offering wasn't going to be accepted, and because of Saul's disobedience and Saul's rebellion against God, he was taking the throne away from him. And matter of fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, and Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he have also rejected thee from being king. In other words, Solomon says in Proverbs 16, 18, pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. In other words, Saul was rebellious. He was stubborn. He wasn't submissive. God tells us to have a humble and a meek spirit, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, God is saying, if you will not humble yourselves and submit to one another, you won't submit to me either. Hello? So we see that, and we see what God is saying. The second point is to rebel. Rebellion. It comes from pride. It comes from haughtiness. It's a sin of witchcraft. It's a failure to be submissive. Sometimes we have this mentality is, no one's going to tell me what to do. All right? And let me say something to you. God isn't going to make you and I do anything. Show me the way
that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. that I put my trust in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hand. Show me stronger, your strong each day. Show me your way.
Yeah, amen. In other words, I can't stand here and tell anybody what to do. I'm not going to. I can show you what the Word of God says. He'll show you what the Word of God says, and what you do with it's on you. You know, and Hebrews chapter 13, God says, obey them that have the rule over you.
That's true, amen.
You know, because they have to give an account. I have to give an account what I say. I give an account what I do. If I see you doing wrong and I don't warn you from your wickedness, to turn from your wicked way, and you die in your sin, your blood's on my hands. But if I see you and I warn you of your wickedness and you don't turn with it, I'm not guilty for it anymore. And what the Lord was saying is pride gets in the way. That's what happened to King Saul. That's what happens to so many times. So what happens when we fail to receive the engrafted word that will save our souls? We find ourselves in a place of rebellion. We find ourselves in a place of stubbornness. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. It even goes more than that. He tells us to submit to authorities. And I'm talking about authorities in this nation too. We need to pray for the authorities. Amen? God's given them a place. Amen? That doesn't mean that everybody is pure and innocent, but we're to pray for them. Amen? You know, he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, what am I looking at? We're talking about open our ears to hear, to receive the engrafted word of God, so that I don't find myself in a place of rebellion. All right? So I don't have that rebellious spirit. You know, he says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Hey, let me say something. Most of the elders may not have as much knowledge that you have, but they have more wisdom. Wisdom comes through experience. And this speaks of experience. This speaks of experience. It speaks of experience. Honor your mother and father so your days will be long on this earth, the Bible says. You know, in other words, they've learned from experience. All of you be subject one to another. And not only that does the elder or the senior have wisdom, but God says in places of authority that the elders also to submit to one another also. He said we're all to submit to one another in the fear of God. Amen. So what he's talking about is that is meekness is not weakness. Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. And being meek doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that I have a teachable spirit. I have a submissible spirit. For example, when you were coming to discipleship on Sunday night, why'd you quit? Did you graduate? Finish the course. It's to help us grow, help us to be the men and women that God called us to be. Man, and I'm not picking on anybody. Remember this. There is therefore no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus that walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. What we're dealing with here is our flesh. And you know, and we all have it. I'm not saying I've arrived, because I haven't. Every time I think I'm something, I find what I'm not. Hello? But we're in this together. And as we're submitting to one another, and according to 1 Peter 5, And we're submitting to another. All of you be subject to one another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Man, that humility is a hard one. Amen. Amen. Have you ever tried to teach a student that thought that they knew more than you? Let me say this to you. None of us know more than God. And when God's speaking through his word, he's speaking to every last one of us. Ever learning, but never fully come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
You know, we're always learning. We're always growing. We're always abounding. You know, we're growing in the Lord. And he says in James chapter 4, verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heads, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, and when he's looking at this, it's amazing grace.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
You know, when I, you know, and we were looking at that, we're looking at that learning to discern, and we're looking at patterns. And we find that if we receive the engrafted word of God that will save our souls, it will help us not to rebel. Because when we get into that state of rebellion, we end up in a place of reverting back or moving back, backsliding, going back to the old nature. It's the same pattern over and over and over again in the word of God. Men, women thought to the place, well, I don't need this anymore. Oh, I'm okay. Oh, I don't need to be connected to a body. I've got it together. I got Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. And I just can't take one scripture out of God's word and use that for my foundation. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He's Genesis to Revelations and everything in between. It's the whole word of God. It's the fullness of God's word. He said, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as a manner of some is, as we see the day approaching. God connects us with the body. You know why? Because we need one another. And in other words, if I'm not if I don't be so stubborn and say, okay, I want to get something today. I want to take something out of the house. I want to get something in my heart and my life that's going to not only make a difference in my life, but it's going to make it a difference in someone else's life also. Amen. Amen. God's called us to be world changers. Amen. Amen. God called us to be world changers. And it starts here. It starts within you and I. Amen. He said and the prophet said, and I turned not back. In other words, I didn't turn back and go to that thing. You know, in Proverbs 14:14, Solomon says this. Solomon is known as one of the wisest men ever. He said, you know why? Because that's what he asked God for. God gave it. He said, the backslider in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in his heart should be filled with his own ways. And a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident. You know, the prophet Hosea says in Hosea chapter 11, verse number 7, he said, my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they have called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. In other words, none at all would put him in the first and the most preeminent place. Hey, hallelujah. So what keeps us from rebelling and reverting back is the engrafted word of God, not only coming in our ears, not just being head knowledge, but it becomes heart knowledge. And as this heart knowledge goes to work in us, in our core, in our being, it's bearing fruit, it will help us not to be rebellious and will help us not to turn back. Jesus said in Matthew 9:62, he said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen? In other words, there's nothing behind us. We got everything in front of us. Everybody okay? Quiet bunch in here today. Do you hear what the Lord's saying? Listen to me. I'm not calling anybody a sinner in the house. I'm not calling anybody a backslider in the house. I'm not saying anything. I'm speaking God's word. If the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't fit, keep it to yourself and don't hand it to your neighbor. Hello? Amen? You know, he said, don't look in the moat in your brother's eye and pull the plank out of your own. Amen? You know, y'all said anything to me, man, I know somebody that needs to hear this word. They should have been here today. God says, yeah, you're here. Yeah, I'm here. Oh, he's speaking to me too. Amen? I've shared before, man, I'll go and I'll pull the CD out and I'll listen to it and he'll speak to me and I'll have to repent. Hello? Amen? And then I'm going out blatantly sinning, but man, I mess up. Does anybody else got flesh in the house? Amen? How many else? Is it work in progress here? God working in your hearts and lives? Amen? We're going through sanctification process his entire lifetime. But God wants you to know there's a right and a wrong. There's good and there's evil. There's righteous and unrighteous. There's, you know, there's a law that you can't break God's word. You can't break God's law. Amen? You know, just like you're riding down the highway and you're going 75 into 55 and you pass by that state police officer. Daggone police. Then that's the police officer's fault. That's sort of what we do with our sins so many times. We try to justify it. We try to blame it on someone. We try to find something to justify it. Gets us in a place of rebellion. Gets a place of reverting back. You know, the Word of God says in Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Amen? Amen. We're children of the light, man. Amen? God wants you to know something. Hey! God's going to hold us to one thing. He's going to hold us to his word. Amen? If it's not his word, I don't have to give an account. I just have to account what this says. You know, and it isn't hard living for the Lord. People have made that a lie. Oh, it's so hard to serve God. It ain't difficult. It isn't difficult. Man, I don't know what I'd do without him. Man, I tried to do it on my own. Boy, I messed things up. Oh, my goodness. Oh. You know, the adversary had me believing all was well. Yeah, all was well, but I was heading to hell. Amen. But Holy Spirit and the Lord came into my heart and life, came into your heart and life, He's transforming our lives. He's given us a better life. Amen. I have a better life. I have a better life. Amen. You have a better life. You know, so in closing today, what is God saying to us through His Word today? That, hey, if we open our ears to hear, and receive the engrafted Word of God that can save our souls, it will help you and I from getting rebellious and being rebellious. You know, so many times we justify our stubbornness. And we say, well, that's just the way the Lord made me. No, don't say that anymore. That is not the way the Lord made us. We were created in the image of God. We were created in the same image of Jesus, and He turned His face like flint and went towards Jerusalem. Even though He knew, according to the prophetic word, He was going to be spat upon, that His hair was going to be plucked out, that He was going to be scourged, that all those things that were going to happen to Him, He still knew it, and He still walked towards Calvary for you and me. See, the world, and maybe generational, has made us stubborn. But God wants to break every generational curse. He wants you and I to have a humble and meek and submissive spirit, that we can submit to His authority, to submit to Him. Because if we can't submit to Him, we'll be never be able to resist the devil. He said, submit to Me, resist the devil, and he will flee. So it starts with our submission. It starts with getting rid of that stubbornness. That's part of the old nature. That isn't our new nature. And it keeps us from reverting back to that old man. And I believe He's saying to each and every one of us today, in closing, will you return to Me with your whole heart? Not half-hearted, but wholeheartedly. You know, the prophet Isaiah writes in Isaiah 44, verse 22. He says to you today, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto Me, for I have redeemed thee. Return unto Me, for I have redeemed thee, says the Lord. That is God's plan for you and I today. Will you receive to keep you from rebelling? To help you not to revert, is solved, and resolve is returning to the Lord with your whole heart. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord until He comes and rains righteousness upon you. Bow your heads and let us pray.